chapter number 9. And before we begin to go in any direction today, I like to do a review. That's just my thing because it gets us up to par to where we've been going for the last couple weeks, and it gets us into the area that we are going into today. Yesterday at our men's breakfast, by the way, that was a great men's breakfast yesterday. I took some home, and I ate some last night, and I ate some this morning. And I tell you what that is. Kim, your husband can cook. And he doesn't give us light portions. But next time I'm going to wear my spandex pants, I guess. That was good. But anyway, we had a great time meeting there yesterday. But during that time, Pastor said something. How many times do you need to hear something before it catches? And the number astounded me because you have to hear something a total of 69 times in order for it to register to you. We are such a forgetful people. So think about that. I've been going over this for the last couple weeks, and I've yet to hit 69 times. And we have probably, a lot of us in here, have forgotten what we've been going over. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What has been our main subject for the past 3 to 4 weeks? Anybody? Prayer, exactly. Prayer. Who believes prayer is important in our lives? Amen. How many of you have been in a situation before and you saw the only way out was to seek God in prayer? I believe we've all been there through those things. And it's a great line for us to have as believers to go before an almighty God. We have direct access to him. I'm not trying to downgrade anybody, but I feel sorry for the Catholics who have to go before a priest. Then that priest takes their prayers. Where he takes those prayers, I don't know. Probably out into the public to begin gossiping about that person who confessed their sins. But we have a direct access to God. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to take that very serious. Because no one else is granted that but believers. And that's pretty amazing when we begin to think about those things. So we have this great privilege to pray. So how are we to pray, anybody? How are we to pray? I can't hear you very well. God's will. Okay, that's one of the things we talked about, but there's something specifically that I'm looking for. How are we to pray? Boldly. Okay, so we've been talking about going boldly before God these past 4 or 5 weeks. How many of you have practiced that in your own personal prayer life, going boldly before the throne of God? And the best way that I can describe it is not going as a wimpy, pansy Christian, but boldly going to him. And I tell you what, that's a life changer for a lot of folks. Okay, so as we begin to go boldly before the throne of God, what are some things, or how are we to ask? What are we to do? I just gave you one answer. Ask. Who said that? I mean, you're so right on. All right, we are to ask. What's the second thing that we're supposed to do? Seek. What's the third thing that we're supposed to do? Knock. Okay, knock means what? You're at the doorstep of God, and you're wanting in. You're wanting access to him. And so we need to knock. How many of you have tried that in these past several weeks? Tell you what, folks, I don't get up here just to get up here to give you a blank message and not to take it home and apply it to your lives. I hope you are taking these things and applying it to your life because it's so very important for us to apply these things and to make these notes in our life. Okay, so now we go to the Lord. We ask. We seek. What are we to seek? We're to seek his will. And then we go in and we're to knock on the door. Okay? So as we're there knocking, name me some things that we are supposed to be praying for. Okay? His will. We did his will. Last week we did testimony. Jeff just said testimony because I believe that I started off with that one last week. And I believe praying that your testimony remains pure at all time is, again, important for a believer in their life. Because why is that important? Well, because we have a world that's out there that is looking at our lives and examining everything that we do. Everything. You might not realize it, but people are looking at you. Young people that are in the walls of this church are looking at you. Do you realize this morning you're an example to them? Even Doc, you're 95 years of age, right? You have young people that look up to you. And you have young people that every single Sunday night and Wednesdays, that are excited to go to Doc. Why? Because they look up to him. Not because he just gives them candy, because he greets them with love and gives them a hug. And that is setting something very important for their lives, because a lot of these young people that come in from the our church that are on the buses don't receive that type of love at homes. And I can testify to that because I've been in several homes in this community. And I see parents that are not showing their kids love. So we need to pray for God's will. We need to pray that God keeps our testimony pure. What are the other things that we are to pray for? Wisdom, exactly. The Bible says we don't have wisdom. Why? Because we ask not. Okay? Unfortunately, we seek the wisdom of this world. What do we know about the wisdom of this world? It's going to be gone. It's going to vanish. It's going to burn. So is it really important for us to seek the wisdom of this world, or is it more important for us to seek the wisdom of God? Again, I have testified to you before, I don't understand everything in this book. And so because I don't understand everything in this book, what am I supposed to ask for? God, give me wisdom so that I can know what you're trying to tell me, what you're trying to say to me at this point in time. Not only just in reading God's word, but when I have a fellow believer comes to me and gives me a question and asks me something, I need to have wisdom to respond to those things. Years ago, I was challenged. You guys might say I'm mentally challenged, but I'm not mentally challenged. But I was challenged years ago by a man in this church. And he came up to me and he says, "What does wormwood mean?" And I was like, I just gave him the blankest look that I can ever give an individual. Because I had no idea what he was asking. I had no idea what he meant. And so I had to go into Scripture and to begin to find out what he was meaning by this. And I tell you what, that was a great testimony for this guy, because he did something for me that he had no idea what he did for me. I had to go in Scripture because I did not have the wisdom that I needed to have about this situation here in the Scripture that he's talking about, and I had to figure out what it meant. And so I had to ask God for wisdom. Remember, I told you folks several times, I am a simple-minded person, and a lot of things fly over my head, literally. I know I'm tall, so things do fly over my head. But I have to seek God for wisdom in everything that I do. Every time that I get up in the morning and when I go down to lay my head down in bed, and throughout the day, I'm constantly, and I'm not boasting about my prayer life, because I believe my prayer life needs to be improved. I believe my prayer life is weak. But I ask God every single time that he would bestow his wisdom and knowledge upon me so that I can begin to understand who he is. Why do I do that? Because his thoughts, Scripture says this, his thoughts are above my thoughts. And so I need to seek wisdom. What's the other thing that we are to pray for? Confidence. Exactly. We need to pray for confidence in the Lord. The illustration I gave to you folks a few weeks ago when my mother was having her feet problems, and we gathered around and we prayed for her and that God would bring healing to her feet. What happened? God brought healing to her feet, not in the way that we saw it, but in the way that God saw it. He answered that prayer, and that prayer changed my life, because then I began to have confidence in my Father, knowing that when I come to him and I begin to ask, I can have confidence knowing that he's going to answer. Now, is he going to answer when I want him to? How many of you folks have ever experienced God answering a prayer in the time that you wanted him to? Sometimes it can happen, and sometimes it doesn't. But I do tell you this, God answers the prayers that the people are going before him when it's his will, when it's his timing. So we pray for confidence. What's the other thing that we pray for? Exactly, to resist temptation. Every single one of us that is sitting here this morning faces temptation. Your temptation is different from my temptation. And I don't want to tell you mine, and I don't want to hear yours. That's between you. And I don't want to have any part of it. You don't want to know mine. But every single one of us face temptation. And so what are we to do? We're to go to God, and we're to seek, we're to ask, we're to knock, and ask God to deliver us from temptation. I'm going to ask you a question. Does God tempt us? No. Who's the tempter? Satan. So as we go to prayer, we need to pray, God, deliver me from the temptation that Satan might deliver in my life. That I will not give in to the temptation. Now, temptation is not a sin. We understand that because Jesus Christ was tempted. And I'm going to get into this a little bit this morning. But it's when you actually give in to the temptation itself. That's when it becomes a sin. So we need to pray for deliverance from these things in our lives and for these things, actually. And then why do we need to go to him? Because he's our Father. And he wants a relationship with you and me. Now, that's hard for me to fathom because I have yet to see God. I see him through scriptures. I begin to, and I'm not saying seeing him physically, but I begin to see some things about him, and I begin to understand some things about him. And I want a relationship with him, and he wants a relationship with me. And that's amazing when you begin to think about some of those things. The last thing I dealt with last week is, and I know I kind of went through this pretty quick, but how are we to go before God? Dean. Obedience. That's one of the things, too. Thank you, Dean. Got to pray for obedience. Thank you. But how are we to go to him? Nick. Humbly. It's good. Anybody? You guys, I'm amazed with you folks. You're getting more involved. I appreciate that. What was the other one? Yes, ma'am. Expectantly, okay. But we need to go to God with dirty hands. What do we need to go to God with? Clean hands. Meaning that we need to seek and ask forgiveness in our lives for the things that we have committed. And so we need to go with God with clean hands and a what? Pure heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. So we need to go to God with a clean heart, do we not? So these are some things that we need to take in consideration. Okay, now last week we went in and we dealt with some things that we need to deal with in our own personal life. What is a thing that you and I must enter into with the Lord? What was that? Prayer closet, exactly. We as believers need to go into that prayer closet with the Lord. So what does that mean? Anybody? It's you and God. And I began to show you in Scripture last week, and again, I believe in public prayer, I believe in corporate prayer, but there are times in our lives where we need to enter into that closet one-on-one with the Lord and Savior, because again, there are things that you and I will not confess to God in corporate prayer, plain and simple. There are things that are so personal between you and God, you don't want anybody else to hear those things. That might be something that you're struggling with and you're dealing with on a daily basis, and that is between you and God. And so at a corporate prayer, you don't want to do those types of things. And so that's when you begin to enter into that closet so that you can begin to have that one-on-one time with the Lord. And I believe that one-on-one time with the Lord should be really important in all of our lives. And we should seek to have that time where all of us will take that time to enter into that closet, to be able to pray for things that we are not able to pray for publicly or corporately. And so I begin to go through Scripture, and I think I showed you four or five places last week where Jesus himself began to pray how? Alone. He began to pray alone. And he showed these things in Scripture. Then I begin to show you what he prayed for publicly. Is anybody can tell me the two things that he prayed for publicly? Excuse me? Food. Now, that's kind of a bad thing for us as Baptists to do, is begin to talk about food in the morning. Now, everybody's going to be hungry throughout the day. Fortunately for Q, he gets to go down to Mrs. Springer's office and curb his appetite a little bit. She's got candy down there. Q, bring it up for us, okay? But anyway, Jesus began to take that time to pray publicly and corporately for food. What was the other thing that he prayed for?
More food.
More food. More food. Thank you, Q. What was the other thing that he prayed for? I thought I saw Jordan's hand, but he's yawning back there.
Miracles.
But what was the miracle? You're right on. What was he praying a specific miracle for? Remember, his friend Lazarus was what? He was dead. And so he began to pray, and he called Lazarus to come forth from the grave. And Lazarus, as a dead man, heard the voice of Jesus and came forth. Now, how do we begin to have that intimate time with our Lord and Savior? Jesus, again, in the book of Mark, chapter 9, he begins to start off with, he ends this conversation, actually, let me get there, my Bible's not there yet. But in the book of Mark, chapter 9, did I tell you the right book? No, yes. You guys know me, I'm scattered brain. Thank you for not saying amen. So anyway, we read this story about a man who had a child who had a dumb spirit in him. And then we read it in another portion of Scripture where he was called a lunatic. And then he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus to remove the dumb spirit or to make this man clean from him. And Jesus does so. And then the disciples ask him an important question in verse number 28. He says, "And when he's come into the house, his disciple asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And he follows up with this answer. He says, 'And he said to them, this kind can come forth by what? By prayer and fasting.'" It's pretty unique when you begin to think about those things. Jesus mentioned prayer first and fasting last. I don't know about you, but fasting is something in my life that I've practiced only but a few times. And before I get into that, I will share some things with you because I think it needs to be shared with you. Years ago, at the age of 17, maybe 18 years of age, I was a young man then, and I got interested in something that is really, I'm still interested in today, but it's not the focal point of my life anymore. But I began to get interested in weightlifting and working out and things like that. And so I became so consumed with trying to have this perfect body. I laugh now because now I'm at the age of 41 and I'm like, I'll never achieve that until I get to heaven. But that's a different point here. But I remember getting very serious about some things that I wanted to do with my body and how I wanted to accomplish these things. And so I began to do some study and I began to do some research about how to get bigger muscles. I know you might be laughing at me or at this point in time, but that's okay. Laugh at me all you want. I'm just giving you a personal example here. And so I began to look at some things and try to figure out how can I go from a weak man to a strong man. And so I began to do my research. I even began to do the research on how much weight I need to put on every week, how I needed to increase everything. I began to do the research on how much rest that I needed to have in between each set. And that becomes very important in a weightlifter's life, to be honest with you, because you got to have a certain rest in between, because if you go too early, you won't be able to put up the weight that you have a desire to put up because you're still weak. And Dean's shaking his head because he knows what I'm talking about. And so you have a certain rest period in between. And then you begin to do more research, and you find out how sleep is very important for your recovery. And so you need to have, I begin to do the research, you need to have X amount of sleep every night in order for you to be more effective the next day for your workout. And then I begin to do some more research. How can I get bigger? What can I do? So I begin to go in and, hey, I need to have protein. I need to eat chickens and chicken eggs and things like that. And so what I would do, I would Honest to God, and I never got salmonella for this, but I would honestly take 3 to 4 eggs, and I would put them in a cup, and I would mix milk in with them, and I'd pop the yolk, non-cooked, and I would chug them down just like Rocky Balboa. And I about puked every time I did that. And I began to dislike eggs at that point in time, because really, it's kind of gross when you begin to think about those things. And so then I began to think of other ways to increase my protein, and then I got hooked on tuna. I hate tuna fish to this day, and I don't care to eat it. But my point is, I began to do all this research because I was fascinated with having this workout routine, and I was fascinated with going from a little man to a big man. Now, when it was all said and done, I started at the weight of 185 pounds. And when I got to the point where I wanted, I weighed 270 pounds. I kid you not. And I was a girthy man too. But I got to that point because I put all that time and I put all that attention into this very thing. I invested myself into this. But one thing that I realized as I'm looking back in my life, what a great mistake that was for me. Because I was so interested in how it looked on the outward side that man can sit there and they can see, wow, Chad's doing something different to his body. He's transforming his body. That's cool. That's neat. But what was taking place on the inside of my life was ugly. Because I invested all that time, all that energy, all that money into these things, into the products that I would begin to buy. But yet, my own personal life with God, where I should have been the whole entire time in my life, I did not take the time to pray. I did not take the time to read His Word. And so my inside, my heart began to become very ugly. See, we get so possessed with how we look on the outside. People today take things to the extreme. They do their dieting to the extremes. They can tell you what they need to eat that day to have that many calories, to not consume so many calories. They can tell you how many miles they have to walk that day so they can burn off the calories that they ate. But they get so consumed in these things. But yet they don't know the Word of God. That is doing a great disservice to you if you are falling in that category. I say that because I fell into that category. I invested my time into something that profited me little. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Everything that I built up as a young man is now going south. That's the name of the game. But what I should have realized, what does it take to have a great relationship with God? What does it take for you and I to have a closer walk with God? Jesus told His disciples, this can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. He says this for a reason. Years ago, I went to, Pine Bluff, Wyoming, to meet with three or four gentlemen to pray over this town for 3 to 4 days. It's one of the greatest experiences in my life. I did not know what was going to take place during those times. I just knew that the guy that was heading us up said I needed some things in my life to get straightened out, and you need to do so beforehand. And so I took that kind of lightly. I prayed, but I didn't pray. But during that time that we met up there for those 3 to 4 days, not only did we pray, but we fasted. When you're fasting, folks, it's going to take you to a place where you've never been with the Holy Spirit. The book of Matthew, chapter number 4, I begin to look up in Scripture, how many times did Jesus fast? I only see it one time in Scripture where it's recorded. It says in Matthew, chapter 4, go ahead and turn there. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It goes on, it says in verse number 2, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward ahungered. Meaning during that time, as Jesus was fasting, he did not, as I take from Scripture, he was not consuming food at this point in time. He is going on a cold diet here. And so he begins to fast. And it says, and he was ahungered. Verse number 3, it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But here is the response that Jesus is able to get back to Satan at this point in time. And this response is something in reality, begin to think about this, the awesomeness that Jesus had at this point in time. Because remember, he's fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. Now he has come out of this. And now as the tempter, Satan, comes to him, he's able to give him a response. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Is that how you and I are living our lives today? Are we living out of every single word of God that comes forth from His mouth? Meaning the words that He has given us through Scripture. Are we living and applying Scripture in our life? Again, Jesus has come off a 40-day and 40-night fasting and praying, and as soon as He got done with this, He is tempted by Satan himself. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. See, Satan's not done working here. Satan's not done trying to tempt our Lord and Savior at this point in time. Verse number 6, it says, "And say unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus saith unto him, it is written again. What's he doing? He's going back to Scripture. He's pulling Scripture out, and what's he doing with that Scripture? Those very words, he's throwing him in to the face of the tempter. I tell you what, it's very important. When I began to pray, ask you a few weeks ago what we had to pray for, is through deliverance from temptation. And that's very important in our lives because Jesus himself faced far greater temptation than any other man did on the face of this earth. He faced more than what you and I can even possibly imagine in our own minds. He faced those things. But yet he did not give into those things. He overcame those things. Why? Because he began to throw back Scripture at the face of Satan. Again, in verse number 7, it says, Jesus said to him, it is written again, he's pulling out Scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 8, it says, again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And say to them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then say Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Again, he's pulling out Scripture. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus did not go for these 40 days and 40 nights and begin to fast and pray, do you think, in your mind, think about this, because not only was he 100% God, 100% Jesus, but he was also 100% man. So that means because he was 100% man, he was able to fall into sin, but he did not. He was tempted with sin, but he did not fall into it. What if he did not go and fast and pray for those 40 days? Do you think, just think for a little bit in your mind, would we be reading something totally different in Scripture? See, Jesus here is showing us the importance of fasting and praying. See, when we are in our times of temptation, and when we are in our times of things in our life, I believe it's important for you and I not only just to pray, but to begin to fast from some things in our lives. Now, a lot of us might sit there and think, well, I need to fast from food. And that might be a good thing, and that might be a true statement. But can I tell you some things that I believe that we need to fast from, that I believe that are taking a lot of our times away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You see, this here in my hand is what? It's a phone. It's a cell phone. It's a little computer. It's a little gadget. You know how I see people most times in our lives today? Just like that. The whole entire time, I told you a couple weeks ago, what is Germany doing at this point in time? People are walking down anymore looking at their phones. They're not looking at the crosswalk. So they're now to the point where they're going to have the ground lit up green so that they begin to walk across the street because they're not paying attention to what's in front of them. You know, so often this thing is a good little tool. And I will admit that it is a good little tool. But this thing is something that can really take us from having a relationship with our Lord and Savior. We have become so consumed and have caught up in this type of a lifestyle that it takes away from our prayer time, it takes away from our reading time, and again, it'll take away from our fasting time that we need to have with God. One of the worst things that I hate to see this. Man, when I was growing up, when I met with my mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters around a dinner table, we did not have these gadgets. Matter of fact, we had a home phone, and that thing hung up on the wall. Young people don't know what a home phone is anymore. It had a cord on it, and you picked it up, and you said hello. But even then, back in those days, when we gathered around the table, when that phone rang, guess what? We did not answer it. As a matter of fact, most of the times, that phone would not ring because people knew our schedule, and they would not call in at that point in time. But I believe this is something that is something that is taken away from our time that we need to have with the Lord. And so I believe that we need to fast from our cell phones. Oh, Chad, you're stepping on my toes this morning. Think about it. Think about the countless hours that you spend looking at this thing that has taken up your time. And what can you tell me from Scripture, what Scripture says about living a godly and holy life? But you can tell me everything about what this phone says and how it operates and what you need to do to make it more successful. You know, that's all fine and dandy, but I want to hear what God's people are learning about His Word. Amen? I can care less about what they're learning about this phone. As a matter of fact, I can care less that the Huskers lost last night. That does not affect me. But what affects me is what I know about His Word. And so we're depriving ourselves from having a relationship with God. We have books that we consume in our lives, and we read books. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a good reader. I'm not a fast reader. But I have a hard time reading what I read. And again, we allow books to take time away from our Bible. But we need to be consumed in His Word. Why? So that we can know what it means to enter into our prayer closet alone, so we know what it means to pray, so that we know what it means to be fasting in our lives. We need to get rid of those things that are keeping us from having a relationship with Him. And so we need to stop consuming ourselves in that and start consuming ourselves in the Word of God. You know what I see that I believe is a problem in our world today amongst our churches? We have people that are sitting in our churches who are babes in Christ, who have been saved for 20, 30, 40 years of their life, and yet they're still drinking the milk of God. How about we get off the bottle and start craving the meat of God's Word? That doesn't take place in our life because we're consumed with all these electronic things that we have, and they can be such a hindrance in our life. Think about this. I'm going to go in prayer this morning. I'm just giving you an example. Oh, Lord, thank you for this day. Boop, boop. Just a second, Lord, I got a text. I'll be home for dinner later. Oh, God, thank you for the message that you've given us. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, another message. How does that give us a relationship with God? I know that seems silly and everything, but that's what we do. Folks, I'm trying to get us to realize the importance of what it means to pray publicly, to pray privately, and then to be fasting. Spiritual fasting isn't just about giving up food, but it's about feeding the Spirit through our obedience to Him. It's feeding the Spirit through our obedience to Him. Fasting is about having a spiritual bond with our Lord and Savior. It brings us to a place where we have never been before. Now, during that time when I was in Wyoming, I began to fast away from food. We did bring some things to gnaw on for a little bit to curb our appetite. We brought in stuff that I would not eat on a daily basis. We brought in some granola bars. That was it. And we brought in some hot and spicy tomato juice. I got hooked on hot and spicy tomato juice during that time, and I love it. But we begin to fast that way. We begin to take ourselves off that food that we are so dependent upon and that satisfies us and fills us up and makes us complete. But we begin to remove ourselves from those things. And during that time, as we began to fast throughout those 3 to 4 days, we became so physically weak. Not only were we fasting and praying at the time, but we would also take up and we go to 3 surrounding communities that were around us. One of them was Pine Bluff, Wyoming. And I don't know if you've ever been through there. I think, Dallas, you've been through there before because you called me going through there once. And they have this big statue of Mary as you're going through there. And honestly, it reminds me of Rio de Janeiro. That's the picture that I get every time I see it. And so we would begin to canvass this town of about 1,500 people. Not only would we hit that town, we'd go to, I can't remember the other 3 names of the towns, but we'd hit these other towns, and we'd begin to canvass those towns every single day, passing out tracts and CDs, letting people know what was going to be taking place at the time to come. And so we'd become so physically weak. It was hot. It was dry out there. And all we were eating was granola bars, tomato juice, and water. Now, you're looking at me this morning, you see a pretty big guy before you. I need food to survive. I need food to keep me going. But I became so weak. But it was during that time, the four of us that were there began to experience something so fascinating in our lives when it came for fasting and praying. We got to be so dependent upon ourselves, folks, and we are so dependent upon ourselves. But it led us to a place where we had a need, and it was, God created a need in our lives to be so independent, dependent upon Him. And that brought us to a place, the four of us, where our bond with the Lord was so much greater than from the time that we arrived. See, there needed to be something that took place in our lives. I was physically weak. The other three men, they were physically weak. But we knew that the Lord would give us the strength to make it through. I tell you what, as we begin to fast for those 3 to 4 days, our prayers begin to change so dramatically. I wish that I had a recorder in there to begin to record the very words that were coming out of our mouths. Again, I rehearsed to you a few weeks ago. One of the men said, "God, if I'm lying right now, strike me dead." He didn't say that at the beginning, folks. He said that towards the end because he had such a spiritual bond with the Lord through the fasting that was taking place in his life. It's about having a spiritual bond with our Lord. Again, when it comes to fasting, it's not something that we go around and we begin to brag about like the people did in the book of Matthew. Go ahead, and you're in there, chapter 5 already. Just turn over a book to chapter 6. We read this here a few weeks ago. Chapter 6, verse number 6, it says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let me jump down to verse number 16. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee open." It's not about something that we go around bragging about. It's not about, hey, guys, look at me. I'm starting to fast today, and next week you're going to see something a little bit different about me. I'm going to be a little bit disfigured. I might be a little bit more skinnier and things of that nature. So please pay attention to me. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not something that we brag about, because if we're doing something like that, what's the scripture says? It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as what? As the hypocrites." Why? "For they disfigure their faces." So if you're going to do some fasting in your life, don't go around bragging about it. That's between you and God. "Well, Chad, I can't fast that long. I have health problems and things of that nature." I understand those things. But there is some time in your life where you can probably do an hour or two of fasting. I get those things. And you might not be able to do anything longer than that, but take that time to do those things. And as we're going through these things, and as we begin to pray and we begin to fast, here's what the hypocrites did not understand. They didn't understand that God already knew their hearts. So this is not something that we go into and we begin to brag about and share with every person, every individual, what you're doing. Keep it between you and the Lord. Don't be like the hypocrites are, putting on a false look. Can I ask you a question this morning? Why isn't fasting practiced much in our lives? And I'm going to give you some answers here. And I believe it's because we have become so dependent upon ourselves. And God is merely at times just a thought for you and I. We depend upon ourselves for so much, but yet we don't realize how much God has done and has gotten us through in our lives on a daily basis. Stop being so dependent upon yourself and become more dependent upon your Father. That's where we need to be in our lives. Fasting brings us to a point in our week, brings us to a point in our lives where we are totally weak. And I like what Paul says. He says, "When I am weak, that's when I am strong." We're not strong in ourselves physically, but we're strong in the Lord spiritually. I started off this morning with a migraine in my right eye. God has delivered me from that as I'm teaching the word to you this morning. Can that hit me after I sit down? Probably. But at this point in time in my life right now, I'm so dependent upon Him. And He's removed that from me. It's not because of me, it's because of Him. We depend upon ourselves so much. But Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. What are our results when it comes to praying and when it comes to fasting? One, it should bring us to a closer relationship to Him. Two, it should help our prayer life. Three, it will help build our faith in Him. Four, it will help us to depend upon Him. Five, it helps us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say something that might offend some folks here this morning, but that's okay. I don't teach, I don't preach to be popular or to be famous. But we are so in tune with the world this morning. The Holy Spirit, who desires to have a relationship with us in our lives, is just sitting back there waiting and waiting and waiting, because we're in tune with the world and we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so when you begin to practice these things and do these things in your lives, it will help you to be totally dependent upon Him. And as we go through this, finally, the Lord will be glorified. See, we don't do these things. We don't meet in prayer. We don't meet in time for fasting to bring glory to ourselves, to bring edification to ourselves. But we meet for these things. We do these things so that our Father would be glorified. Again, go back to our camp theme that we had 5, 6, maybe longer than that. It's not about us, folks. It's all about Him. How are you living your life for God today? That is a question that you need to be asking yourself. How is God in your life today? Do your friends, do your coworkers, do your family members, do they see God in your life? If they don't see God in your life, maybe they're seeing something else. Maybe they're seeing the world. They don't need to see the world in us. I'm going to call you brothers and sisters this morning. This world is not our home. We're strangers and we're pilgrims. We're passing through. We don't set up our treasure here. We set up our treasure in heaven. That is where we need to be. I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to challenge you. Pray earnestly, pray fervently, and as you're doing that, from time to time, do some fasting. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is so, the only words I can use is, it's so awesome, Lord, that we are able to open up this Word and be able to read the very words before us. Lord, I pray this morning that this world would not see the world in me, but that they would see Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's anybody here within these four walls here that is not living a lifestyle that they need to be living for You, Lord, I don't know who they are. You do. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to their life so that they may change their ways. We ask You these things in Your name. Amen.